This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today and welcome you into the Retirement Room with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist from Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. You can find out more about John and the team at MatthewJames.com. I'll also schedule a time to speak with him at the website, MatthewJames.com, or give a phone call if you prefer, 366-8366. So let's go ahead and talk about this, because the end of the year, you know, of course, tax planning is something that you guys do. It's right there in the name, after all, Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. One way to plan for taxes is by doing a Roth conversion. When that money is moved from pre-tax accounts like 401ks and your traditional IRAs to an after-tax Roth, and those earnings can then be withdrawn tax-free. It seems we talk about this a lot as being something, you know, for people who are pre-retirement, you know, still working, that might be approaching retirement in that retirement red zone. But what about people that are already retired? Is the Roth still a viable option for them?
Yeah. I mean, a Roth is still a viable option. I mean, the Roth is a great tool. It doesn't matter what age you are. I mean, look, you can get started late with a business. And it, just because you're, you know, you're not young, you're not 20, you're not 30, you're not 40, doesn't mean you shouldn't start with it. The thing is, if you have earned income, you should be figuring out a way to make a contribution into a Roth. And regardless, you should be figuring out a way to make a conversion into a Roth, to put money in a Roth, because you get complete growth, 100% tax-free, 100% tax-free distributions. I mean, this is such a great tool. I mean, the only thing it's vulnerable towards is the death tax, the estate tax. So in the event you pass away and your net worth is greater than whatever the limit is set by the government, then any of those dollars are exposed. And so you have to do specialized planning for that. But bottom line is, the Roth account, you could do a lot of things with a Roth. You can have your Roth IRA own real estate, and you can have rental properties in there. You can own a racehorse inside your Roth IRA. You can invest in small businesses called private placement. You can invest in small businesses inside your Roth IRA. You can do the same thing within your HSA as well. So you have to go self-direct with it and make investments, numerous investments, and then all of your gains are tax-free, which is the beauty of it. I mean, you just have to satisfy the 59.5 rule, be older than that age, and you've had the account for at least 5 years. So, you know, if you haven't opened up one, open one up and start the clock. That's the key thing, is get that moving. But what happens is you get to see tax-free compounding, and that's the beauty of it. You know, some people might have, you know, you might have a goal to have a big real estate portfolio. You might look at doing a lot of different things. But the thing is, if you can create tax freedom for the future and utilize this type of strategy, I mean, it's very beneficial. So what we do is we look at, you know, what alternatives do you have? What kind of investments you can put your money in? Not just the same old mundane, you know, mutual fund or anything like that. We want to make sure that you're using the right tools. And so what we do see a lot of is some people even getting sold an annuity, or putting your Roth in a CD. You know, like I understand, like, a CD from a temporary standpoint. Look, the market's going down. You can make 5% for 3 months. You know, sure. Obviously divide that by 12. But I mean, bottom line, to get your final interest rate that you're getting. But the thing is, the long term of using a bank instrument or an insurance instrument inside of your Roth doesn't make any sense. And unfortunately, we see a lot of people on the insurance side put people's Roth money in those types of accounts. I don't believe that's appropriate. I don't believe that's suitable. I don't think that's the right thing to do. Now, the customer might be risk adverse, but I'm like, wow, there's so many other things you could do with your money versus sticking it there, because you're trapped. I mean, you have limited opportunities, especially capital appreciation in that format. So the ideal thing is, you know, you want all of your growth money in a Roth. I mean, you can have it outside of a Roth too, but when you're looking at tax freedom, the Roth is the best opportunity. And then, you know, look, you can, if you have a life insurance policy with cash value in it, you can borrow money from it. I'm not saying that's what you should do. The next thing is having anything that gets long-term capital gains treatment. I mean, that's very beneficial. They have qualified dividends. Then the next thing you know, it's IRAs and bank accounts and bonds. And, you know, all of those things get taxed at ordinary income. So your most tax-free opportunity is the Roth. The next thing is your municipal bond. And then from there is long-term capital gains, anything that you can get long-term capital gain treatment on. And then from there is just, after that's everything else, because they all get taxed at the same rate, basically. So we just have to look at how to get money in a Roth. You know, if you're still working, great. Maybe your spouse is still working. You're still eligible to put in by a spousal contribution. And then from there would be conversions. And so we're doing a lot of conversions right now, moving money over from your tax-deferred account over to tax-free. Mm-hmm. We have to look at, okay, make sure we're maxing out maybe your current bracket. Maybe you need to jump into the next bracket depending on how much total assets that you have inside of IRAs, because you have a tax lien on these IRAs and these 401ks. So we want to create a plan where during your retirement, you have a lot of tax-free because of or a lot of tax-free income that you could receive, and it's all about creating a plan, utilizing, you know, when to pull money from or start receiving social, you know, how much to pull from your IRA, how much capital gains should you realize each year. And then the next thing is looking at, okay, how much do we need to pull out of our Roth to supplement? And so, but the other thing is that when you go from married, file, and joint, and you go to a single filer status, this happens by death or divorce. And so the thing is that whenever you see that happen, that is a significant tax hike. Now, keep in mind, if in the event when someone passes away, you can file, there's a special filing whenever you have lost your spouse. So the year that you lose your spouse, you could file married, file, and jointly. After that, you could file as a widower, and then you get the same tax treatment as the married for married individuals for 3 years. And after that, it goes to a single filer status. So what we want to do is take advantage of any advanced tax planning. We have people that their spouse has passed away, so they're, you know, the filing is changing. So we got to make sure that they can take advantage of every opportunity that they can to reduce their tax exposure. But the more money you have in a Roth would be ideal, because ultimately, whenever you pass away, you and your spouse, that money goes to the next generation. Well, whenever they receive the Roth, it's 100% tax-free. Now, right now, they still have to liquidate that account over a 10-year period. But the thing is, they don't have to pay taxation on it. So they can let that money grow and grow and grow. And on the 10th year, they have to liquidate it, which is fine. You know, in the current rules, it sucks. But still, you don't have to pull money out each year. But if you're dealing with an IRA or 401k or 403b, you have to pull money out each year for the first 10 years if the original owner of that account was already taking their RMDs. Now, the rule is you have to liquidate that account in the 10th year. So, you know, that's a big tax bill for a lot of people. But the more money you have in a Roth, the more you can transfer. Now, think about it. Whenever you want to transfer money to your children, what percentage of your assets do you want them to keep? In other words, how much you want to send to the Treasury and how much you want your kids to keep. If you're thinking 100%, well, then you need to utilize Roth or a Roth alternative. If you're thinking anything of that, then you're paying outside of that. You're going to be paying or they're going to be paying high taxation on it. But the other thing is, if you have brokerage accounts, we have to look at how that money transfers. The cost basis changes upon death, which is very beneficial. So you might have a 401k with maybe a lot of your own company's stock in it. What I wouldn't do is transfer all of that to an IRA, because then you don't get any benefits of the net unrealized appreciation rule, where they can inherit that stock at current market value, and basically the cost basis goes to that. So when they liquidate it, they don't have any taxation. That is a very big tax benefit.
As we're winding down 2023 here, just a reminder, the current tax rates as they stand right now, the Trump tax rates that were put into effect during his administration, they are set to sunset at the end of 2025. So about 2 years left until they revert to the previous administration. They may even go up in the future, more than likely going to go up in the future. So doing some tax planning now is something I think definitely worth taking a look at. And it's not as simple as taking your entire nest egg right now and converting it, because when you make these Roth conversions, you do have to pay the taxes on it presently. And you know, if you're converting large portions of it, could be counterintuitive to what you're trying to achieve. So having someone on your side who can help you with that process, kind of thread that needle, make sure you're paying as little as possible, is as simple as reaching out, picking up the phone, scheduling a time to speak with Matthew James, Tax Wealth Management. Speak with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist. 366-8366 is the phone number. It's 366-8366. Also online, MatthewJames.com. In the previous segment, we were talking about the stretch IRA, the elimination of the stretch IRA. That is something that was a part of Secure Act 1.0. It has been 4 years since Congress passed Secure Act 1.0. Another thing that was featured in there was allowing companies to offer annuities within 401ks. Goldman Sachs' Mike Morgan tells Morningstar there's actually been very few takers, despite their research showing strong interest.
as they think about where they're drawing their retirement income from, having some of that be from a guaranteed option is definitely something that's attractive to them. But we haven't seen a lot of adoption yet of annuities. And I think some of that comes back to many participants are just still unsure of annuities. They're complex, they're costly. I don't know how this works. And so I think over time, we're going to see how does that sort of fit into the retirement income stream.
Now, if somebody has an interest in an annuity right now, they don't necessarily have to wait for that option to appear in a 401k plan, right? But how do you find the right one that's tailored to them if it's even going to work in their plan at all?
Well, look, the thing is, Chris, like, what is the reason why do it?
Yeah.
And so, like, just so listeners understand where I stand with this, I do not like any kind of guaranteed income annuity. And that's typically what they're built for. I mean, people get an annuity, get a guaranteed paycheck for the rest of your life. Look, depending on the math of the current market, like let's say the last like 3-4 years plus, interest rates were very, very low. It really, really, really didn't make any sense because your principal value in your account, like the cash account inside that annuity, let's say if it's a fixed or fixed index, it's not really going to make any money. So even though you're getting a guaranteed paycheck, your account value is dwindling in value. So the issue there is, in the event whenever you pass away, your account value is going to go down and eventually get to zero, your cash, but you're still guaranteed the paycheck. Now look, there's some of them that have some, you know, some different verbiage where your income gets cut. But let's just say all things equal, the paycheck stays the same. Well, the problem that I see is that you don't have an inheritable asset anymore because there's no lump sum benefit if the account value goes to zero that can go along to a spouse or a child or anything like that. Because if you have a single pay annuity, sometimes you can set it to where it's a joint pay where it transfers over to your wife's name. So there's different variations of them. So, but I just don't like the fact that you don't have a lump sum that's available in that kind of market environment whenever your principal value is deteriorating. Because what happens is in guaranteed income annuities, there's a income rider. Basically, it's like a pension valuation that is not a direct correlation to your real account value, real cash. Because what happens is whenever you put money in these things, you have maybe a guaranteed roll up every year. That's like the language a lot of people use. And whenever you see these illustrations, whenever they show like a guarantee column where you're like your guaranteed income amount grows every year, that's not your real money. That means that cannot be transferable to you. You can't like liquidate that account. But what happens is that account value grows each and every year, and they'll pay out a percentage of that account. It could be 5%. It could be 5.5%. I mean, I've seen them 7%. Now, there's some things with that really doesn't function that well that I don't like. I don't like them, period. But bottom line is what happens is your account value, your income-based account, your pension value account, that's going to grow probably by double over a 10-year period. But your real cash, realistically, is not going to grow much at all. So what happens is it's pulling, let's say, 5% of, let's say if you put in 100 grand over 10 years, it goes to 200,000 guaranteed, and you're pulling 5%. So that's 10 grand, okay? But the thing is, it's coming out of another account. It's, the value is getting deducted that you're getting in cash every year out of your accumulation value of that account, which is growing tremendously less, probably barely, if anything. And so, but when you look at the math, it's like almost like a 10% withdrawal each year of that value. So that account value is not performing enough to pay the, you know, to build up enough interest to make a payment, a payout of what the guaranteed paycheck is going to be. So then you're seeing this valuation decline, and that's my big issue with it. It's not a good transferable asset. The other thing is like on variable annuities, which are extremely expensive. And so, look, I go to conferences all the time, and I hear a lot of these people talk about, you know, I want to sell annuities, I want to sell variable annuities, I want to sell because they want to get paid. And some of these things pay extremely high compensation, whether it's upfront or it's over a 10-year period, either way. But bottom line is, you know, even if you have a variable annuity inside of a 401k, and so the adoption, like what that guy was talking about, has been pretty low, probably because the company's the owner of the company that's, or like let's say the HR manager understands it and really doesn't believe in the financial product at all. Because when you're paying probably an extra 3.5% a year in fees on a variable annuity, look, and let's say if you're making 5% a year if you're making 5% a year and you're paying 3.5% a year in fees, I mean, look at your real net gain. But let's say if you're also withdrawing money are you're losing money and withdrawing money and paying 2.5-3.5% a year in fees, you're not really seeing your account grow in value. And that's been a problem for me. That's been an issue. And so we have to look at, you know, what's the purpose? What are you trying to do with that money? And so using the wrong financial product, especially an overpriced financial product, could hurt you for the long haul, because some of these things have a lot of, you know, that contract that you're getting into could keep you in that, you know, that account for a long period of time. And that's been a pretty big issue. And so that's something that we have to look at, we have to address, and things that we can make changes to. So we just need to look and see, okay, what's your scenario? What could be done? How can we help you adjust it and make the right choice? Now, like I said, I have not seen, and I don't deal with like 401k. We don't like offer 401ks to companies at this point. But even if we did, I wouldn't be offering an annuity inside of a 401k to get guaranteed income. There's other things that you can do. And there's other tools that are out there that you don't need that for guaranteed income. So that's just my take. I would stay away from anything guaranteed income related annuities. You can have principal guarantee, you know, that's a bond alternative where it functions like a CD, but it gets higher growth because of indexing. You know, that's a different thing. But you're using it for a purpose. You're not getting it for guaranteed income. You're just looking at it. Okay, this is a you know, when you're looking at guarantees as far as principal preservation, you're either going to go to the bank, to the government, or to an insurance company. Those three. Now, you know, they all offer the same, you know, principal preservation, and they have different liquidity arrangements, and then they also have different growth opportunities. So it all depends on what are you trying to do, what's suitable for you, and what's the right thing for that, you know, that particular stage in life.
And again, that's going to vary from person to person, and it's not necessarily something that I think a lot of people out there who push annuities or they deal with annuities, they kind of treat them as a Swiss Army knife approach. They can kind of do, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I don't know the last time you actually used a Swiss Army knife out there. You know, if it's all that you've got, sure. But more often than not, you know, if you're trying to use it for the blade, if you do it, is okay. The screwdriver, not so much. It does these things, but it may not necessarily do them as well as having a dedicated tool at your disposal. That is what John is talking about. You know, utilizing whatever it is that you find appealing about annuities, the more often than not, there is a better strategy, a more tailored strategy that is going to work better for you and in the long run help out tremendously. And that is what the plans that he and the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management, when they craft them, that is how they help you. So if there is something about an annuity that you like or dislike, you know, bring it to the conversation, sit down and speak with them and be able to explore alternatives out there if that is the case. But when it comes to principal protection, there may be a time and place for them, but you don't know until you have that conversation. 366-8366. That's how you get started with John Blanchard. Set up that time to speak with him and the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management. You can also find out more about them and schedule a time as well on the website at MatthewJames.com. The stock market was up 8% in November, but according to some economists, it is based on hope that interest rates are finally going to come down in the year ahead. But economist Ken Polcari tells Fox Business he actually disagrees with that.
And so this rally that we saw in November is really built upon that idea that the rate cuts are coming. It's illogical to me, considering Jay Powell has made it very clear that the door is open and he's still not confirmed or sure that the hike cycle has ended. The market is stamping their feet saying, no, we need lower rates. We don't need lower rates. The market can function with 5% rates. And you and I both know that over time and history in the markets.
So, John, what do you think about what Ken said there? Can we keep going with interest rates being this high without some kind of market correction?
Look, Chris, our market's in a really weird place, and you know, a lot of people haven't seen the scenario that we've been in. I mean, looking at the market being at an all-time, still an all-time high when you know, all things considered, and then the interest rate environment that we're in, but we're also looking at, you know, the interest rate, what does that cause for corporations? You know, corporations have, you know, loans that are coming due and they have to renew these loans and they're not going to get at the same low interest rate. You know, we have to look at all these different things and how will that affect you, you know, moving forward in the future. And that's a key thing that we have to look at is how it's going to affect corporations, how it's going to affect the stock market, you know, how it's going to affect personal, you know, individuals. I mean, look at all like refinancing homes right now. I mean, that is at an all-time low. even got like people trying to sell a business. Well, then if someone doesn't want to, you know, finance it at these higher interest rates, I mean, that's a problem too. So whenever you're trying to exit out of something and the purchaser has to pay a higher interest rate, that could slow down, you know, the process with that. And so we just have to look at what's going on with the fundamentals of the market. Look, we're going into election year. We're in a high interest rate environment. We still have high inflation. Even though the government doesn't want to talk about it, you know, there's a lot of things that are inflated still very, very highly. You know, farmers are feeling it. I mean, anybody's feeling it. I mean, you go to a hardware store, there's a lot of things that are pretty expensive. I mean, there was stuff a lot more expensive, let's say 18 to 24 months ago. And so, but some things have come down. Some things are priced pre-COVID time. So that, you know, there's different scenarios, but what we have to look at is what are you trying to do with your money? What is the purpose that you want to have in place for your money? Granted, you know, it's, you've probably gone through, or maybe look there, we have listeners of all ages on that listen to our show on the weekends, which I'm very grateful of. So there's people that are in the accumulation phase, though they're younger, they're like, you know, in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, they might be in their younger 50s. And there's people like in the second half of their 50s, people going into their 60s, where they're making that transition. So the younger group, let's say me on down and a little bit up, I'm 42. So I'm focused on more growth, I'm taking more risk. I'm looking for, okay, how can I get my money to double a lot faster? And so ideally, that's what people are looking for, is trying to accumulate more money whenever you're younger. So whenever you're older, taking more risk with all of your money isn't too suitable, because what happens if you take a massive loss, 20, 30, 40%, 50% in your account value? I mean, look at what happened in between 2000 and 2002. And in 2008, look at what happened last year in 2022. I mean, the S&P was down 19%, a little bit more than that. But look at target date funds. These are the flagship retirement accounts that like, let's say, a 2020, 2025, 2030 target date fund, Fidelity, Vanguard, there's others out there. They took a hit because of their allocation of fixed income and their allocation of equities. And so you have people that were already retired or about to retire, and that specific model did not work. So it's a matter of having an understanding of how does your money fluctuate, how does it move, how to make changes. And so what we have to do is look at lowering volatility. If you're that individual that is approaching retirement, or you might be in retirement, you want to start lowering your volatility or minimizing your volatility. Not that you have to go with things that are completely guaranteed. Ideally, is what you want to do is lessen the impact of any kind of negative drag. If your standard deviation number is greater than your performance number, your rate of return, you're dealing with too much volatility. What you want, this is the tip, what you want to see is your standard deviation number to be lower than your rate of return. That means you're dealing with less volatility. Now, whenever you're younger, you can deal with a little bit more volatility because you have a longer time span to gain traction to see that account grow in value. And so the thing is, it's all about, you know, what's your age? We want to make sure you have the appropriate investment structure for your age. You might be 70. Now, if you're in that boat, you want to have a lot less volatility, but maybe you want to carve out a portion of your money. What I call it, the Cypress Bayou account, whatever. And I'm not, this is not a pitch on Cypress about Bayou or any other casino. I don't gamble. I don't buy lottery tickets. Let's say one person says, look, I want to go to the casino and I'm going to go bring a $100 bill. And you come back home after you go put your $100 bill on the slot, the table, whatever you do, and come back home, tell, you know, spouse, hey, honey, babe, I lost $100. They're probably not even going to raise the eyebrow that much, if at all. But if you took your whole 401k, your whole IRA, and went bring it over there and lost it, that is a massive issue. It's not divorce. It's probably murder.
Yeah, don't go home.
There's probably a hole being dug as you're talking about it in your backyard, or, you know, go drive across the Atchafalaya Basin and there's a bunch of alligators hanging out right now because water came up a little bit, but it has been pretty low. But, you know, hey, look, there's going to be a body jump, you know, getting dumped. Whenever you lose that much money, and that's the thing we got to look at is, what's the suitable investment for you? What is your objective? What are you trying to do? You know, the thing is, taking all the risk and think, okay, the long term, the market's going to be good. Look, long term, the market is going to grow, but you're going to have some dips. And whenever you're in retirement and having a significant amount of money lost as you're taking income from your accounts, then that's going to be a big problem. And that's things that we have to look at and readjust and set up the appropriate accounts with the appropriate investments for the with the appropriate allocation for the correct purpose. The other thing is healthcare planning too. You have to earmark money for future healthcare costs. Maybe you might go into a nursing home. Maybe you're looking at, hey, look, I want the nursing home to come to me. I want to be in the comfort of my own home, and I want someone to take care of me. We just on our street, we're on Coolidge Boulevard in the oil center. We are out of our window. We look at Lafayette General, Ochsner, Lafayette General, all the same thing. Like every time the helicopter flies over, we can see them, we can watch them land. But on our street, we have three different companies that are providing senior care. One is directly next door to us, and two of them are across the street. And I've talked to all three of them. And so the thing is, they see, you know, people that are having to fork out money, having to bankroll in-home care for either themselves or a loved one. And they talk about the importance of, hey, get your ducks in order, because we don't know what card we're dealt. Nobody does. I mean, it's like if you have a brand new child, you know, the odds of it, you know, being born with a health issue, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. So the thing is, we don't know what's going to happen after we retire, how long we're going to live, what our health is going to be. So we want to make sure people have the correct amount of money to conquer all their goals and dreams, but also for all those what if moments, and have the planning there for all the what if moments. And that's the key thing, is having a plan in place.
We can't control, you know, there are things clearly beyond our control. What we can do is have a plan in place that knows there is going to be market fluctuation sooner or later. You know, interest rates are going to come back down sooner or later. There is going to be market pullback. There is going to be taxes that are almost certainly going to increase, right? $33 trillion in national debt. That money has to come from somewhere. But if you have a plan in place that can account for these things, obviously not knowing the exact moment when they're going to happen, but that they are going to happen, and hopefully being able to mitigate those effects, that's what it's all about. And that is what Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management help people with. That's what they've been helping people with, you know, time and time again. But it all starts with that phone call, 366-8366. If interest rates are going to hold high for a little while right now, obviously not the best time to go get a loan or to refinance your house, but being able to use you know, things like the interest rates, the CDs to your advantage, that's what it's all about, knowing when to make these moves, being financially nimble, being financially bulletproof in retirement. All starts with that phone call to Acadiana's retirement strategist, 366-8366. We've talked about the 4% rule before. We've talked about the 72 rule before. Here's another retirement rule to put to the test, simply called the 1,000 a month rule. In the simplest form, for every $1,000 you're going to need per month, you need to have saved $240,000. So if you follow that logic, if you need $3,000 a month, you need to have saved $720,000, $5,000 a month, $1.2 million. It goes up from there. I have to wonder, John, does that math seem right to you?
I mean, yeah, Chris, it's a number to start off with. It helps people get, you know, have a game plan of what they need to do. But ideally, you know, you might need $7,000 a month, but what if your social between you and your spouse is $4,500? So the thing is, you don't need to have, you know, $1.6 million to bridge the gap, because mm-hmm. you require less money because of the income of social or maybe a pension. So the thing is, but it's also, what vehicles can you use? I mean, there's things out there that you can get a pretty sizable dividend each year. The you know, looking at the 4% rule on withdrawing a certain amount of money where you can get consistent growth. The thing is whenever you're trying to pull income from your investments, that as long as you can minimize the negative volatility, if you can lower or almost eliminate the negative drag. Now the thing is, when I say eliminate, you have to go into guarantee principal preservation type vehicles, and some people, you know, they need that. Some people have an abundance of money where the amount of money they need per year, they don't need their accounts to perform that well or that crazy to really perform. But then we see some people that have to have, you know, they need to have like more a pretty decent double digit return, you know, in that teens area, just to supply a return to give them the amount of money they need, because they have a lower valuation of their account. Now that's pretty risky, because in the event we have a big negative year, then they're taking a big lick, because they're withdrawing a certain amount of money. It's a pretty high valuation, And then they're taking, if they take a big loss, a big 20, 30% plus loss, that's going to be a big problem, because that's going to shorten up the time span of your account value. But ideally, the amount of money that you need, it's a matter of, okay, where's your guaranteed sources of income coming from? Social, a pension. Okay, then we got to look at what's the net amount that you're going to receive. What I mean is how much taxation you're going to see. And then from there, look at other sources. Do you have a brokerage account? Are you going to be receiving dividends from that? Do you have a Roth account? What about your IRAs? How do these dollars get taxed? And then looking at a strategy to cover, okay, I want to make sure I have enough money to cover, obviously all my fixed expenses, my homeowner's insurance, my, let's say, flood insurance. I mean, look, we have people that live in Vermilion Parish, St. Mary Parish, in Iberia Parish. I mean, we hear them crying, and I feel bad. Their premiums are going up. I'm hearing it from people. It's I feel bad, because I mean, that's taking a lot of money away from them that they're never going to see back. I mean, that's the sad part. I mean, a lot of the odds of you using the insurance, I mean, look, you need it in the event that, we have another hurricane, look, which obviously we've seen, or let's say the 2016 floods.
Yeah.
That's a big issue. And so we just have to look at what is the purpose of your money, how much you need coming in, where can we structure the income coming from to supplement your social, your pension, to understand and know how much money you need to save out of that. Some people that we meet that let's say they're coming in their 30s or 40s, even their lower 50s or in their 50s, and they have another 10, 15, 20 years to retire. We have a calculation. We have basically a worksheet we hand them. So let's say husband and wife come into office. We give them each a sheet. And then we have one. We go on our whiteboard and we look at the numbers and say, okay, what if scenario? And we go back and forth on the numbers. Okay, this is the total amount that y'all need to save per month. Multiply that by 12. Now, these are the type of accounts you can make contributions to. So we would say, look, let's make a recommendation. You put this amount in this Roth, this amount in this Roth. You have your 401k. You have your pre-tax maybe. You have your always have a pre-tax 401k. You might have a Roth opportunity in your 401k. You could have a after-tax opportunity in your 401k. Now, obviously, depending on the family's cash flow, will determine how much money goes into each account. Maybe you should be putting some kind of after-tax money in a brokerage account and look at buying some positions that focus on capital appreciation. Maybe not dividends. You don't need the dividends right now, but maybe focus on capital appreciation. Let that money grow. And then later on, whenever you're realizing those gains, is that long-term capital gains treatment. So maybe in retirement, you're receiving Social Security as an income source. And then maybe you're receiving a certain amount of money out of your IRA, a certain amount of money out of your Roth. And if you can basically control the money that's coming out of your IRA and you control the money that you're realizing every year as a long-term capital gain to supplement your social and your Roth, you could be paying no taxes. And so it's all about having a plan to be able to do that moving forward. And that's the key thing. It's nice whenever you have 10, 15, 20 years to plan. Now, look, if you have 5 years to retirement, we can help you too. I mean, the more years you have, the better, because mm-hmm. we can help organize your assets in the right areas for, to grow tax-free. And so that's the ideal thing. We meet so many people that, and we help them out, that have a multiple seven-figure number in their IRA. We even have a few that have an eight-figure number in their IRA. And so look, congratulations. You've built a sizable amount of wealth. The only bad thing is that those accounts have a tax lien.
That's right.
We were looking about to get to $34 trillion of national debt. Now, we have to also look at the unfunded liabilities of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security as well. But when you look at it all, the total amount of money that that we have in debt, I mean, that's an enormous amount. It's not just $34 trillion. We're looking at about $140-plus trillion. And really, it's actually more than that. So the U.S. unfunded liabilities, when you look at Social Security liability, that's over $26 trillion. Medicare is $40 trillion. So when you look at them all combined, that's roughly $212 trillion of debt. And the thing is, our government needs revenue. They need tax revenue. So look, in the future, I would expect them, not that I want them to, I would expect them to lower the estate tax threshold. So in the event whenever you pass away, you have more money exposed to the death tax. Capital gains to rise. I know it's scheduled to rise in 2026. What is it going to do further? I mean, Biden in his first month in office wants to change the long-term capital gains high band rate from 20% to 39.6. Mm-hmm. Then you add the 3.8 net investment income tax. So there was people that were planning on selling a business, selling high appreciated property, that were ready to liquidate immediately, move and capture the high end of 20% of a long-term capital gain, because seeing your taxes double is super expensive. Now, people that are selling a business, selling property, we have a tax deferred strategy that we help people take those taxes they would have paid and put that into a specialized trust. And now they have 100% of their money working for them, and they only pay taxes on the distribution. So we have to be tax sensitive, whether you are, you might be a W-2 employee. There's limited things that you can do, because the tax code is not written completely to benefit the W-2 employee. It's written to benefit the business owner, the investor. So we got to look at how to create passive income, how to create tax strategies to offset that. If you have a business, what deductions? There's over 30 strategies that could be used to lower your tax bill each and every year if you are a self-employed or you own a business. We meet so many people that are consultants that come in here and they file as a single, a self-employed individual. You're paying an enormous amount of taxes doing so. And so, like, we have people that have construction businesses and oil and gas companies, people that are physicians. We help them lower their tax liability. So if you're a business owner, we can help you build a strategy. We can do an assessment and then tell you exactly what you want to, what you can do and how it's done. And then from there, if you want us to implement it, then we can implement it as well. Maybe you like your CPA. Maybe you've outgrown your CPA. So you might have outgrown your financial advisor. You might have outgrown your CPA. You know, there's a lot of people in different scenarios, and we want to figure out what ways we can help you build more wealth and lower your tax liability.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, license number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.